It's a real privilege for me to be able to introduce our next speaker. Rabbi Dr. Jacob J. Schachter is the University Professor of Jewish History and Jewish Thought and the Senior Scholar for the Center for the Jewish Future. I have the pleasure of being able to work with Rabbi Schachter, and I know that I speak for many who benefit from his wisdom and his guidance. And as I mentioned earlier, the program today is sponsored by the Schachter family in memory of Rabbi Herschel Schachter. In the merit of everything that Rabbi Schachter does for us at YU and for the Jewish community, his father's neshama, Shrav and Aliyah. The title of this year is The Significance of Yisker, Past, Present, and Future. Rabbi Schachter.
President Joel, my mother, who graces us with her presence, members of my family who are here, Mori Virabi, Rabbi Yosef Adler, who honors us this morning, gratitude to the Arbisfeld family for sponsoring Kol HaMidrashet Yom Rishon, with gratitude to Nechama Cohen for everything that she does, with gratitude to Rabbi Menachem Penner for sharing this morning with me and for his absolutely extraordinary presentation, and to Rabbi Penner's father, who is here as well, who I'm sure has tremendous nachas. I acknowledge the presence of Rabbi David Ellenson, president of Hebrew Union College, who honors us this morning. Today's two presentations, and mine as well, are Le'ilui Nishmas Avi Mori Horav Tzvi Ben Rav Pinchas Zichrono Livracha. I want to reflect on his life through the prism of the focus on the recital of Yisker that is the subject for the presentation this morning. It's a whole question about whether or not Yisker is recited during the first year. Our family is now in the middle of the first year of Avelus. My sister and I are saying Kaddish for our father. And there's a question about whether Yisker is recited during the first year. So the Gesher HaChaim at the top of the first page essentially says that we should recite Yisker. Poshatu shegam b'shana harishona liptiroso maskira nishmoso. Yesh amda mahasasim, however there are those who, a little bit unsure, question whether we should do it during the first year. And the Orchos Chaim says, because the pain is still so great and the sadness is still so deep, that when you say Yisker for somebody in the first year, you'll be so sad and you'll start to cry and you'll create an atmosphere of deep sadness that is not in keeping with the Yom Tov spirit that we should have certainly during the Shoshana Galah. And we don't want to establish something that's contrary to a core element of the emotion of those days. However, he says, Kvar nimnu v'gamru, she'en l'minak ze tam v'yesod. V'adarabah v'shona rishona, drushim heim yoser l'tfilo. During the first year, whatever it is that Kaddish is supposed to help, so Yisker is also appropriate. And so I thought that during this first year, to devote a talk to the significance of Yisker. I have the privilege of living in Teaneck, New Jersey, of davening at Congregation Rinat Yisrael. And our family has an extraordinary rabbi who honors us this morning, Rabbi Yosef Adler. Rabbi Adler continues to teach me an enormous amount, and I'm extremely grateful. A couple of years ago, our rabbi delivered a memorial shiur in our shul, and I was so deeply touched and so moved that what I want to do today in his presence is to basically repeat the shiur. It's simply to repeat the shiur. I don't believe I've ever done this, but I was so taken by this, and I thought that it would be so appropriate in memory of our father, that I'm going to repeat Rabbi Adler's shiur. What I want to do is to take every single time we say Yisker and to analyze it independently. There's some significance about Yisker being recited on that particular occasion. It's not just a generic Yisker that we say all the time, but each time we say Yisker, there's something else that we're thinking about that actually transforms Yisker from the sadness to something more meaningful and to something more positive. Let's start with Pesach. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah L'Saper B'Nisim V'Neflo Shenasu L'Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisim. There's a mitzvah to tell the story of the miracles that happened to our ancestors in Egypt, leaving Egypt on the 9th, the night of the 15th. The end of the halacha, filu chachamim gedolim chayovim l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, v'chol amarech b'dvarim she'iru v'shehoyu hareze meshubach. And everybody should talk about this, and everybody should, to the extent to which they can, talk about it at great length. And then there's a special focus on the children. Mitzvah lo'odia lebanim va'afilu lo shoalu. Pasuk says v'hoya ki yisholcha bincha lemar. So we have to respond to the question of the children. But even if the children don't ask, we need to proactively engage the children. Afilu lo shoalu shenemar v'igadot olavincha. Halacha gimel. V'tzarech la'asos shinui balayla hazeh, k'dei she'yiru habonim v'yishalu. It's not enough to just sit at the table and wait for them to ask, but we need to do things differently. And we all know that we shake things up on the night of the Seder, dafka, k'dei she'yishalu atinokos, to elicit questions from the children. Why are we doing this? Why are you wearing that? Why are we doing this? What's going on? K'dei she'yiru habanim v'yishalu v'yomru, and the antecedent for v'yomru is the banim, ma nishtana halayla azeh mikol halaylos. The children should ask, why is tonight different? Ad she'yoshiv lohem v'yomra lohem kach v'kach ira v'kach v'kach haya. So that we respond and we tell them what happened. It's interesting that the Rambam in Periches has a little different formulation. I want to raise it as a question and then move on. The Rambam in Periches Halacha Beis, the bottom of the first page, Omozgin Hakos Hasheni, once we're moving along here, the Rambam gives us the description of the Seder. Omozgin Hakos Hasheni, Vekan Habein Shoel. And after we pour the second cup, the child asks, the Omer Hakore, Manishtana Halayla Hazeh, Mikol Halaylos. The first halacha, the Rambam says, the child asks Manishtana. In the second halacha, the child asks. What does the child ask? Anything. And then, v'yomru ha-kore, the kore is the one who says manishtan. The basic concept of Pesach and the Seder is a dialogue between parents and children. It's derech she'elo u'tshuva. And we act in ways that are unusual in order to pique the curiosity of the child. And so when we recite Yizkor on Pesach, we conjure up images and memories of ourselves at our parents' Seder. We remember sitting at their Seder. We remember how, as little children, we asked questions and our parents answered our questions. And so we convert the recital of Yizkor on Pesach to an expression of Hakaras HaTov, of gratitude to those who raised us, for having provided us with those memories. I remember our Seder at home very well. My sister is here, and I'm grateful that she's here. We share memories of the Nigunim that our father sung at the Seder, the Stretene Nigunim, the Nishmas. We remember the readings at our Seder. One night there was a reading about the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, about the Shoah. Another night there was a reading about Soviet Jewry. And we were little pitzlach, little children. And that impressed upon us, as little children, the fundamental role that memory plays for our religion and for our people. It impressed upon us the fragility of the Jewish people and what our father would call the indomitable strength of the Jewish people. And we would end singing Ani Ma'amin. Ani Ma'amin. Ani Ma'amin. I was 3, I was 4. I was 5, I was 6. And we sang Ani Ma'amin. And we learned the obligation to care for our fellow Jews. Our father cried at Shvoch HaMoscha and would tell us stories about what it was like when he went into the Buchenwald concentration camp. He talked about it incessantly. He talked about it all the time. He talked about it at the night of the Seder. Shvoch HaMoscha al Hagoyim asher lo yudoucha. We remember the guests who were at our Pesach Seder. I remember my grandparents, my mother's parents, who were our Pesach Seder. I remember wearing my father's shirt as a kittel when I was tiny. I remember staring at the kosher Aliyah, because my parents said that Aliyah is going to come. And he goes to all the Jewish houses and he takes a little sip. And I didn't believe it. But after all, they were my parents. I was a little skeptical, but I also was looking at the door and looking at the door, and then I was waiting for it to go down, and then I fell asleep. And the next morning it was empty because they poured it out. They said, no, Elio came after you fell asleep. I remember waiting for Elio as a baby, as a child. And that's what we all share. We all share memories of what it was like when we were kids at our parents' Seder. And I would say also, for us now at our stage in life, what memories do we create for our children at our Sedarim? What do our Sedarim look like? How proactively are we to be engaged with our kids and our grandkids? What do they remember? How are they going to describe the intensity and the power of the Seder? So that's what Yizkor is on Pesach. It's the memory of sitting at the Seder and the transmission fundamental values that can't be forgotten. Let's move to Shavuos at the top of page 2. There's a Minhag Yisrael that we don't really do anymore, but was done for a long time. There are many, many sources. Rabbi Adler cited from the Sefer Rokeach, the top of page 2. Minhag Avoseinu, Shemoshivin Atinokos Lilmod B'Shavuos, Lefisha Nitna Bal Torah. There's a whole special ritual, and it's actually developed very interestingly, a book called Rituals of Childhood by Professor Ivan Marcus, who's a professor at Yale University. It's a whole minhag, a whole ritual to bring a child either to the shul or to the Rebbe's house to learn Aleph Beis for the first time on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Minhag Avoseinu Shemoshivin Atinokos Lilmod B'Shavuos Lefi Shenitnu Bo Torah. Shavuos is Zman Matan Torah Seinu. And it's not only Zman Matan Torah Seinu nationally, but individually, personally, little kinderlach should have their first exposure to Aleph Beis, to Torah, on the holiday of Torah. And there are all kinds of rituals that we do that remind us of Matan Torah, Kabbalah Satorah, the whole drama, the whole story of Kabbalah Satorah. And so we get up very early in the morning, the third line. Imagine a little kid, it's dark outside, the kid's 3 years old, whatever the age is, you wake him up, it's still pitch dark. You bring him outside. It was early in the morning. And then we wrap them in a cloak. It's a kind of a garment. They're under something. We put them under something. We swaddle them. Also to remind us about the event of Matan Torah. And we put the kid on the lap of the Rebbe. And the Rebbe starts to teach, Al Shem Kaasher Yisa HaOmein Es Hayonek, as the nurse carries the suckling baby. Umevim Haluach Shekosuvol of Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Tav Shin Reish Kuf. And then there's a little blackboard, there's a little board. And on the board is written the Aleph Beis. It's written Aleph Beis in order, then it's written Aleph Beis backwards. And then it's written Torah Tziva Lanu. And then it's written, Torah Teheyum Nasi, that Torah should be my pastime. Vayikra El Moshe, that's what's written on it. Vakore Harav Kol Ozva Osmin Aleph Beis. And the Rebbe reads every letter of the Aleph Beis. Vatinok Achrav, Aleph, Kametz Aleph, Kametz Aleph, Every single letter of the Aleph Beis. The Rebbe reads and the kid is on his lap. And that in backwards, V'chol Teva Shel Tov, Shin Reish Kuf Atinok Achrav. V'chein Torah Tziva. Repeat after me. Torah Tziva Nu Moshe. Repeat after me. Torah Teheyum Nasi. Repeat after me. Vayikra El Moshe. But that's not all. V'nosein Al Haluach Ma'at Dvash. So they used to put honey on this board. Such a beautiful minhag. They put honey on the board. And the little pitzel licks off the honey that's on the letters. The kid associates the Torah with the sweetness of the honey. And they bring honey cake. You create an experience of a child, the first formal exposure that the child has with Aleph Beis. It's surrounded by honey. It's surrounded by sweetness. And he continues with all kinds of minhagim. Shavuos is the holiday of Matan Torah and of Kabbalah Satorah. And Shavuos symbolizes the hope of parents that on this day of Kabbalah Satorah nationally, that our children should also be Mekabel the Torah. And that our children should be committed to a life of Torah and to the text of Torah. Our children should realize that it's sweet. It's not difficult and it's not onerous and it's not hard. But it's a beautiful gift. It's a chesed that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. We're licking the honey. That's the experience, the first time we ever study Torah. And that's what parents think about. That it's a delight and it's as sweet as honey. And so we remember when we recite Yizkor on Shavuos, we remember how our parents brought us to Torah. We remember the experiences that our parents shaped for us to recognize that Torah is central for us. And not just central for us, but sweet for us. I remember when I started yeshiva, my mother, my father, first grade. I remember all the Yamim Tovim in our home. I remember how my maternal grandfather, we called him Abba, my mother's father would call every night between Pesach and Shavuos, and he would say, Yakif Yosefel, what night of the Omer is it? And we would repeat the night of the Omer. He died when I was seven, so this is a pre-seven memory. And he would say, not just what's the night of the Omer, but what's the Sfira tonight? Because there's a whole Nusach after we count the Omer, the Chassidim say, a whole Nusach, Paganti, Maach, B'Sfira, Chesed, Shebehoi, Netzach, Shebeteferes. We go through all of the Sfiras. And he wanted to know, a pitzel, he said, Yaakov Yosefel, what's the Sfira? And that was my Zaydi. And that's what I remember. And that's what Yizkor is all about. Yizkor on Shavuos is to remember how our parents introduced us to the sweetness of Jewish life and Jewish tradition. And then what are we doing? What are we doing to introduce our children and our grandchildren to the beauty and the sweetness of Torah? Do they get the message from us that it's a burden and it's hard, it's complicated, and Rosh Hashanah is so early, so difficult, and who needs it? A 3-day Yom Tov. Or, wow, my God, it's a 3-day Yom Tov. It's incredible. We could be together for 3 days. We can go to shul for 3 days. It's honey, it's sweet. What are we doing so our kids should grow up feeling the sweetness and the honey and the beauty of Judaism? What memories do we create for our children? The next time I want to go to the next of the Shalosh Regalim, Tishmini Atzeres, at the bottom of page 2. So Rabbi Adler quoted an incredible piyut that we regretfully do not say, but really speaks to the power of, I think, what the message is of Shmini Atzeres, and in particular, the relevance of Yizkor. The Paitan here tells us the following scenario. You know, Shmini Atzeres is Simchas Torah, Simchas Torah. We read Vayomas Shem Moshe, we finish the Torah, we read Vizos HaBrocha. We read about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, the last few hours of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And it was wrenching for Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to read it and translate it. Bottom of page 2. Az bikshov anav, when the anav, Moshe Rabbeinu, heard, quote, Alei al har ha'avarim, Shem comes to Moshe and says, go to the top of the mountain. Bidato, when Moshe heard, go to the top of the mountain, he thought, go to the top. Go to the top, remind me of something. I was once at the top of another mountain. Bidato chishev ka'aloyas sin bihidurim. I thought it was like going up to Har Sinai with honor and with glory and with kavod. I thought God is summoning me back to a second Sinai experience. Gezeras dos chadosho fikudim yesharim. That he's now going to add to the Torah. He's giving me new mitzvahs. He's giving me a new Torah. Dod yeshlo. God has this, the beloved one has all of this new material, litain, to give over, lemishivim bechurim, to that who is, or to those who are, to the Jewish people who are chosen from the 70 nations. Wow, it's great, I'm being summoned back for part two. That's what he says, and that's what he thought. But then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha'eis kasheh, but when he heard God say, Umus behor asher ata olev, vai vai tzovach befem olei. Oh my God, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute, zu aliyah, this is called going up to a mountain? Yiridahi lehiskaleh, this is going down. You told me I'm going up, I thought I'm going up, I thought I'm recreating Sinai, and now you're telling me I'm going to die. What are you doing to me? Chanun, I beg you. Oh, merciful one. Ebrana ve'era hor hatova amuleh. Let me go in. I want to go in. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to die. And I don't want to die here. Tahora nahu. So the pure one. God responded in answer to him, Ravlach. Al Tosef Daber, stop talking. Yehoshua Mishorsach, Higi Azman Hayos Chaver. It's now time for Yehoshua to take over, to be the leader of the Jewish people. Because we have a principle. Ki Amalchus Becheverta, Kimelo Nimo Lo Tischaber, Ain't Shnei Malachim Mishtamchim Bekeser Echad. Two kings can't serve, can't rule at the same time. They can't touch one another. One has to finish and then the other one can begin. And now it's Yehoshua's time. Lahar Nevo Ta'aleh, you will go up to the mountain. Visham Tamus, and there you will die. Ubagai Tikaver, and that's where you will be buried. Can imagine Moshe Rabbeinu thinking, first of all, his own personal frustration. You know, I don't want to die. I don't want to die here. I want to at least see Eretz Yisrael. But more than that, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, wait a minute, I was in charge of the Jewish people for all of this time. And now, this is a critical, pivotal moment. Now, everything that we've been preparing for the last 40 years and even before, is now going to come to fruition. And I'm the only one who could really do this. I'm the only one who's great enough to be able to do this. When the Torah says Moshe was an anav, it doesn't mean Moshe thought that he was a nothing. Moshe knew what Moshe was. And in a very humble way, he's saying, wait a minute. How could they survive without me? How could they negotiate this major move without me? They need me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, your time is up. It's now somebody else's turn. But Moshe, you should know that it's not like you're absent, and it's not like you're gone, and it's not like you're forgotten. Because Yehoshua is only going to be successful because of you. Because you trained him. Because you invested in him. Because you inspired him, because you prepared him to lead the Jewish people on the next leg of their journey. You had your turn. You passed the mantle to the next generation. And now it's Yehoshua's turn. And so as we recite Yizkor on Shmini Atzeres, we think about our parents. Not everybody has this kind of a zechus. Many people do. We think about our parents, and we think about how they prepared us to step in and to make our contribution to the welfare of the Jewish people. Our father was a leader. He was a real leader. The work that he did, in particular in the aftermath of the Shoah, is most well known. It was that work that merited him a front page obituary of the New York Times a few days after he passed away. And our family believes that that was really the narrative that shaped the rest of his life. He was a leader of religious Zionism. He was a world Jewish leader, a rabbi in the Bronx, together with my mother, Yibadl Ben Chaim L'Chaim, shaped generations of kids who grew up in the Bronx to be Torah observant Jews. We had 600-700 people in my father's shul every Shabbos, the Marshall Jewish Center. Maybe we had a minion of Shomer Shabbos. The people were very sweet. These are in the 50s, traditional Jews, but not really observant. And my parents, my father and my mother, went to work on the children every Friday night without fail. Our table was full of young boys and young girls from the neighborhood who would come to our house after whatever Shabbos they had in their homes. And my mother would be so sweet and talk to them and find out about their lives. Our father would give Divrei Torah, we'd sing Zemiras. In the early years, my sister and I were under the table. We didn't understand really what was going on, but we just knew that all the kids are coming and there's Torah at the table. And there's Zemiras at the table. We were in Israel. Our family was in Israel this past summer, and our mother wanted to go to Israel, so we went to Israel. And one night, she sponsored a dinner for 19, mostly in this case, young men, some young women, who were inspired by our parents to become observant and who went on Aliyah 45 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago. And 19 people came around the table with spouses, and they came to tell our mother, thank you, because of her and because of our father. There are hundreds, there are more than hundreds of young people alive today who care about Jewish life in the Jewish community. And I would say it's not a coincidence that my sister and I spend so much of our time trying to help and to ensure a meaningful future for the Jewish people. And so on Shmini Atzeres, when we say Yizkor and we remember the passing of the baton, we also ask ourselves, what memories are we creating for our children? How are we investing in them? How are we inspiring them? How are we preparing them so they should take over when their time comes to commit the time and the energy and the resources necessary to perpetuate a flourishing Jewish future? And now we come to Yom Kippur on page 3. The recital of Yizkor on Yom Kippur is different than the recital of Yizkor on Shalosh Regalim, because Yizkor on Shalosh Regalim is a later minhag. But there is Me'ikar Adin, Al-Pi Din, there is a din of Yizkor on Yom Kippur. Top right, page 3, the Torah tells us at the end of Parsha Shoftim, the story of Egla Arufa. If you find a challah, a dead body, and you don't know who's responsible, you have to measure the distance to the closest city. And then the leaders of that city have to bring a korban, they have to take an egla, and they have to make a declaration. Ba'anu va'amru pasig zayin, yadenu lo shofchu es adam azev, einenu lo ra'u. And then they have to ask for atonement. Kaper la'amcha Yisrael, asher padisa Hashem. Atone for the people, your people Israel, who redeemed. Says the Sifri on the top left-hand side, Kaper la'amcha elu achayim, asher padisa elu hamesim, melamed shehamesim tzrichim kapara. It's an amazing thing. Yom Kippur, this Shabbos, It's not only Chaim Tzrichim Kapara, it's not only Yom Kippur for us, but it's a Yom Kippur for the deceased. It's a Yom Kippur for those who already passed away. They also need a Yom Kippur, and they also need Kapara. The Beis Yosef below quotes from a Mordechai, and I'm sorry it's so tiny, I apologize. Kosova Mordechai, Masha Urgulu Lidor Tzdoko B'Yoma Kippur Mavura Mesim. We say Yisker, and we say Ba'avur Sha'ani Noder Ba'adas Koras Nishmasam. So why am I giving Tzdok on Yom Kippur in order to remember those who passed away? Yesh Raya Misifra Desanya B'Parsha Segla Arufa Kaper Lamcha Yisrael Elo Achayim Asher Podisa Elo Amesim Alamich Amesim Trichim Kapon. So Yisker on Yom Kippur is to help the Mason for whom we say Yisker, because they also need Kapara. And Rav Soloveitchik said, I myself heard this a few times, Rabbi Adler quoted it in the name of the Rav, that's Pshat in the Gemara in Erechim. Below on page 3, where the Gemara wants to know, why do we not say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? There's a whole Arichas in the Gemara giving us all of the various requirements necessary for the recital of Hallel. So the Gemara says, well, all of those requirements are in place. They all exist on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. All the prerequisites are there, so why do we not say Hallel? Mishum de Rabbi Avo, the Omer Rabbi Avo, just about halfway down. In fact, the angels themselves asked this question. Amru Malochei Asharis Lefnei, none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Rabbanu Shalom Mipnei Ma Ein Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanecha B'Rosh Hashanah B'Yom HaKippurim. Amar Lan, so God himself answered. Efshar Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Adin. The king is sitting on the throne of judgment. That's the image now. V'sifrei chayim v'sifrei mesim suchim lefanov. And the book of life and the book of death, the opposite of life, are open. V'Yisrael Omrim Shira Lefanei. How can you say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? It's a time of tension, it's a time of nervousness, it's a time of uncertainty, it's a time of anxiety. The books are open, what are you talking about? And we always think that the Pshat, there are two books. There's the book of life and then there's the other book. And we want to go into the first book, we don't want to go into the other book. Said Rabbi Soloveitchik, no! Sifrei Chayim means the book of those who are alive, they're being judged. The Sifrei Mesim and the book of those who passed away, they're also being judged. They're also being judged, and we have to give tzedakah, and we say Yisker on Yom Kippur for them, for those who are already in the Sifrei Chaim, for those who are already in the Sifrei Mesa. And how do we understand this? How could it be that somebody who passed away 5 months ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago, is still being judged on Yom Kippur? Parents or grandparents, or great-grandparents' action can affect children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren many years later in not such a good way and in very good ways. They can be expressed, the implications could be expressed years later. All of us have stories about our parents, grandparents. I think part of the reason why we sit here is because they had Mesiras Nefesh for Judaism and for Jewish commitment when it was not necessarily so easy. I want to mention again my maternal grandfather. We called him Abba, Zichrono Livracha, my mother's father. He was a butter and egg salesman. And he used to travel to the South. He lived in Brooklyn. He had a store in Brooklyn. He used to travel to the South to try to hustle up some accounts to send down eggs to the South from his geschäft. And he dealt a lot with Gentiles. Most of the people who were living there were not Jews, who were his customers. And one year he was close to a very big deal and would have made a big, huge difference. It's around the time of the Depression when every nickel really mattered. And he's close to a big deal, but the guy says, you know, I can't really close right now. Why don't you go back home? I'll give you a call and we'll work it out. So what is he going to do? He goes back home. It's Wednesday and he's waiting for the phone and the phone doesn't ring. It's Thursday. No phone call. It's Friday. It's no phone call. It's Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, the phone rings in the house. There's no question who's calling, who's going to call him on a Shabbos afternoon. But he says, it's Shabbos. Can't answer the phone on Shabbos. Nope. What'll be, will be. It's Shabbos. On Monday, he gets a call from the guy. He says to him, you didn't answer the phone on Saturday. Somebody who doesn't answer the phone because of a religious commitment, that's a person that I want to do business with. And the whole world turned around. And I, mamish, believe that our family is observant and that we are Shomrei Torah, Mitzvos, and the Schos Avos. And we're not the only family, all of us are families like this. That our Einikloch, five generations in America, our Zisa Vaila Einikloch, are going to care in Mirtz Hashem about Judaism because of Schos Avos. And our Zaidi, and our elder Zaidi, and our father, every year there's a new din because the decisions that they made and the way they shaped their lives accrues interest. Every year, new things are happening. New decisions are being made. New directions are being taken because of those faithful decisions that were made 5 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And so, when we say Yizkor on Yom Kippur, we also need to ask, so what are the decisions that we're making that will shape our future generations? It's a lot easier today, Baruch Hashem. It really is. It's hard to imagine how hard it once was and how complicated it once was and how difficult it once was. It's hard to imagine what it meant to be a Shomer Shabbos of Jews who came over from Europe, who mamish was starving. I remember on Tisha B'Av, Rav Soloveitchik would tell a story often about a Jew would come and go to work. He'd have nothing, come back with nothing on Friday afternoon. He would tell his boss, I'll see you on Sunday. The boss says, what do you mean Sunday? Tomorrow. He says, what do you mean tomorrow? It's Shabbos. He says, you don't come to work tomorrow, you're fired. So how could he go to work? He doesn't go to work. So he walks around the whole Shabbos. He doesn't have what to eat. He finds another job. The next Friday, the same story. After 5 or 6 weeks, he's starving. So what's he going to do? The Rav says you have to understand what life was like then. And people made whatever decisions they made, and those decisions have implications. And those who hung in there in heroic measure also have implications. And so the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Meisim Psuchim on Yom Kippur, and the Yizkor is not only for us on Yom Kippur to remember, but they need our Zuchusim, because every year it's a new story. And it's a time for us to remember and to think about. So how are our kids going to remember us? What are they going to think about when they say Yizkor for us? What heroic act are they going to be able to conjure up? My Abba, my Ima, my Zaidi, my Bubby. Wow. I think I'm standing on their shoulders. Because what they did really made a difference. And so we have Yizkor on Pesach. And we have Yizkor on Shavuos. And we have Yizkor on Shmini Atzeres. And we have Yizkor on Yom Kippur. And I want to conclude with a final thought. Rabbi Adler pointed to the fact, we're now on page 4, that the words Yizkor Elokim appear four times in the Torah. May God remember, or and God remembered. Vayizkor Elokim. Four times in the Torah. The first time, beginning of Bereshis in the story of the Mabul, the whole world is coming to an end. Noach goes into the Teva, starts to flood. The end is near. The end is here. Vayishoer ach Noach vasherito bateva. Perichas pasuk aleph vayizkor Elokim es Noach. Number one. Number two, Avraham witnesses the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. Vayashkef al pnei Sodom va'amorah v'al pnei kol akikor. Vayhi b'shaches Elokim esori akikor. Vayizkor Elokim es Avraham. The third case. Everybody's having children, and Rachel is not having children. And she is beside herself. Perek Lamed Pasik Chav Beis Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel. The final example at the beginning of Shmos. B'nai Yisrael, Tif, Tyre and Mitzrayim. They've had it. Vayi Bayomim Arabim Ohem Vayayonchu B'nai Yisrael Minu Avodah Vayizaku Vayizkor Elokim es Brisai. Four times, Vayizkor Elokim in the Torah. In each case, somebody is facing a crisis of monumental proportions. Noach, Avraham, Sodom and Amorah, gone. Rachel, Nebuch, Klal Yisrael, they can't survive any longer. And in each case, Vayizkor Elokim, God remembers, and God shapes a way for them to transcend the challenge and to move forward to a meaningful future. In the first case of Noach, a few psukim later, the pasuk says, and Hashem comes to Noach and he says, "Tzei min ha-teva, leave the ark." I don't know about you, but if I was stuck in an ark, surrounded by smelly animals for I don't know how many hundred and something days, and now it's over, nobody would have to say to me, "JJ, you know what? I think you should go out of the ark." Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Noah, "Tzei min ha-teva, eken shenishdois halten"? Finally, I could leave. Because Noah is thinking, what am I leaving for? Where am I going? What kind of world is this? This is a world that's destroyed. Why am I leaving? What's the point? I have my few little menshalach right here. I got all these behemoths. The world is over. The world is finished. What's the point of going out for what? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayizkor Elokim es Noach. Get out there. Start again. Create again. Recreate. In spite of the destruction that you behold, you can create a new world. Avram Avinu prays so hard. And he bargains in the 50 and the 40 and the 30, and he's upset and his reputation is on the line, and he's going to the mat for Sodom and Amorah, and he's trying to help Lot, and then forget about it, it's over. It's done. And Lot's wife is a shtick salt, and the whole city in smoke and ruins. Who am I? Says Avram, I've got nothing. I've got no koyach, I have no power. What kind of an impact do I have? I can't get anywhere. What's the point? What's my life worth if I can't affect the change that's meaningful? Vayizkor Elokim es Avram. You have a role to play, Avraham. Go out there and make a difference. Rachel, her life is over. I don't have children. I need you to help me. V'im ayin, mesa anochi. the intensity of the pain of somebody who wants to have a child and can't have a child is indescribable. And it's over for her. Everybody else, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Huda, Han, everybody has, and all the shvachos, Zetitzach, Lebedix, and in her tent, it's quiet. So what's the point? Vayisker Elokim es Rachel. Rachel, you're going to have a child. Rachel, you're going to build. Rachel, you're going to create. You're going to create worlds. In fact, Rachel, you're going to create the one who will be the savior of the Jewish people, who will ensure the transition of Bnei Yisrael through Mitzrayim, and who will accompany the Jewish people via his bones as they leave Egypt to march on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel. And finally, Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. What does it mean to be a slave? And what does it mean to be a slave for so many years? And you go up and you do something, you come down, the next day you do it again, and you do it again, and then they make it harder. What kind of future is this? What kind of life is this? What's it worth? What's the point? Vayisker Elokim es Brisei. Es Avram, es Yitzchak, es Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people in Egypt, you're going to leave. You're going to leave and you're going to make something of yourselves. It's going to take a little while at the beginning. You're going to get to the promised land. You'll be the Am HaNivchar. And before that, you'll receive the Torah. Because you see, we have something special. Vayisker Elokim es Brisei. All of us go through challenges. Sometimes worlds are destroyed. Sometimes for us, the future is bleak. And sometimes for us, the disappointment is utterly overwhelming. But yet, maybe the mantra of Yisker is Vayisker Elokim. And that we pray that God should remember us like he remembered Noach and Avraham and Rachel and our ancestors in Egypt. That in the schus of our avos and our imahos, in the schus of our babis and our zaydis, and in the schus of our effort to try to take what they gave us and transmit it to the next generation, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu remember us. And may we be blessed this year and for years to come with a shnas, chaim v'shalom, a very happy and a healthy and a meaningful new year.